I got married in July and then got engaged again in you know, September to Eric. And I was like, oh, I'm Elizabeth Taylor all the time.
I think I did say I thought it would always be me.
Yeah.
At his rehearsal dinner.
Love makes the world go round. And when it comes to LGBT civil rights, love is what all the fuss is about.
There are no lakes of fire. We're here on Earth. And the only thing to do is put love first.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Brunei's deadly penal code gets the Sultan's blessing, television celebrates a modern marriage, and hip-hop's Hayes shares the same love. All that and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 3rd, 2014. Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah of Brunei gave the green light this week to a new penal code based on Islamic law, or Sharia, that includes the severing of limbs for theft and, along with adultery and insulting the Quran, punishes consensual adult gay sex with death by stoning. An international outcry seemed only to have delayed the formal enactment of the new laws while the Sultan was on a state visit to Singapore. They were originally scheduled to take effect on April 22nd. Gay sex is already punished in the tiny Southeast Asian nation with up to 10 years in prison. Brunei is a Muslim monarchy that gained independence from the UK in 1984. The Sultan is omnipotent and heads all agencies of government. According to the Brunei Times, the first phase of the new laws, which apply to both Muslims and non-Muslims, will increase fines and prison sentences for various crimes. Phase 2, which restores corporal punishment, including amputations for thieves, will come into effect within 12 months. And Phase 3, which introduces the death penalty, will take effect within a year after that. The Sultan gave his official blessing this week to the new penal code during a ceremony celebrating its enactment. I place my faith in and am grateful to Allah, the Almighty, he said. This act, without doubt, is now part of the great history of our nation.
The United Nations and a host of global human rights groups have condemned the horrendous new laws, but the Sultan has grown rich on oil and gas exports and is one of the richest men on the planet, so he probably worries less about world opinion than about the bottom line, including that of his state-owned Brunei Investment Agency, which owns the Dorchester Collection, 10 of the world's most prestigious hotels. They include the Beverly Hills Hotel, Hotel Bel Air, and similar properties in Rome, Paris, Milan, and Geneva. There have been small pickets to protest the new laws outside the Beverly Hills Hotel, home to many glitzy Hollywood award ceremonies, and a growing number of groups are canceling events at the world-famous destination. They include the Outgiving Conference, a gathering of major LGBT philanthropists, and the Feminist Majority Foundation, which moved its annual Global Women's Rights Awards to be hosted by retired late-night talk show host Jay Leno and his wife Mavis to a rival hotel. Ellen DeGeneres, Sharon Osbourne, William Friedkin, and Stephen Fry are among the celebrities calling for boycotts of all 10 Brunei hotel holdings. And designers Peter Somm and Brian Atwood said this week that they were moving their Fashion Week events away from the chain.
Elsewhere in Asia, Japan's 51-year-old First Lady was among some 3,000 celebrants at Tokyo's LGBT Pride Parade on April 26th. Dressed in a white pantsuit adorned with rainbow badges, Aki Abe, wife of Prime Minister Shizo Abe, rode atop a float with a colorfully bedecked drag queen as the procession wound its way through the trendy Shibuya business district. She said in a Facebook posting right before heading off to the parade that, I want to help build a society where anyone can conduct happy, enriched lives without facing discrimination. Affectionately called the Domestic Opposition Party, Aki often takes more liberal stances than her politically conservative husband. In addition to her support for LGBT rights, she fights for gender equality and is described as being a more modern, relatable First Lady than her predecessors. Japan has no national anti-discrimination laws, though local measures have been enacted in some areas.
An estimated 300 LGBT Russians and their supporters marched without incident in the St. Petersburg May Day parade on May 1st, led by an activist wearing an oversized caricature head of President Vladimir Putin. They waved rainbow flags and carried banners reading, "Love is stronger than hate." The activists were among several groups and organizations given rare official government permission to participate in the public event. There was no violence, even though there were reports that Vital Mironov, one of the chief architects of local and national laws banning so-called gay propaganda, mistakenly marched alongside the LGBT group.
Meanwhile, Mironov's law against the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations to minors has come to Crimea. A pride festival scheduled for April 22nd and 23rd in the Black Sea port city of Sevastopol was canceled by authorities after a popular vote on the peninsula approved Crimea's annexation by Russia. LGBT people and their allies in Crimea are now also subject to Russia's no-promo-homo law. Mironov has called for more drastic measures that will eradicate the experimental practice of sodomy in Crimea, including the creation of a morality police, censorship of social media, and the closure of LGBT clubs and organizations. Since the beginning of the crisis with Russia, the Ukrainian government has also withdrawn a bill that would have banned anti-gay discrimination in the workplace, reintroducing the measure without listing sexual orientation as a protected category.
As if the situation for sexual minorities in Uganda couldn't get much worse, draft legislation is being considered that would ban foreign non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, from providing financial or other assistance to Ugandan LGBT groups and individuals because that would be promoting homosexuality. The East African nation's anti-homosexuality law, which took effect in February, outlaws the promotion of homosexuality, punishes consensual adult gay sex with up to life in prison, and requires Ugandan citizens to report suspected homosexuals to the police. Most LGBT people who don't have the resources to seek asylum in other countries have gone even deeper underground. Junior Internal Affairs Minister James Baba told Reuters that the new legislation is needed to stop NGOs from meddling in Ugandan politics, and that they will not be able to do that when we pass this law. Critics say that the latest campaign against sexual minorities in Uganda is politically motivated. Kampala-based human rights lawyer Nicholas Opio told Reuters that the regime of long-serving President Yoweri Museveni is increasingly dependent on use of money to win elections. So in order for them to have a free hand in spending public resources to buy votes in the next election, what do? He asked. You begin to restrict NGOs.
In other news this week, the Northern Ireland General Assembly defeated a motion to debate marriage equality legislation similar to what was adopted in England, Wales, and Scotland. The Sinn Féin proposal specified that religious institutions would not be forced to conduct marriage ceremonies, but only 43 lawmakers voted for the proposal, with 51 against. The first civil marriages of same-gender couples in England and Wales were celebrated on March 29th, and the first in Scotland are due to take place at the end of the year. Some critics believe that the only way Northern Ireland will get marriage equality is through a legal challenge. A public vote on the issue that's expected to support marriage equality will be held in the Republic of Ireland sometime next year.
The General Synod of the United Church of Christ filed a lawsuit this week in U.S. District Court in Charlotte, arguing that North Carolina marriage laws limit ministers' choices, violate the free exercise of religion upon which the church is built, and restricts the freedoms of religion and expressive association guaranteed in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit notes that the state's Amendment 1, which defined civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, overwhelmingly approved by voters in 2012, also prohibits same-sex couples from attaining any form of legal family status. By extension, the suit argues, the law makes it a crime for religious officials to officiate a wedding between two people who don't have a valid marriage license. The Reverend Jeffrey A. Black, the denomination's general minister and president, discussed the church's landmark action in an official YouTube announcement this week.
The United Church of Christ's history goes back to the Pilgrims, people who crossed an ocean seeking religious freedom. In the North Carolina case, we are advocating for religious freedoms of all people, including those who disagree with us on the issue of same-sex marriage. We take this action not only on our own behalf, but on behalf of all Americans.
With almost 1 million members, the United Church of Christ in 2005 became the first mainline Christian denomination to support marriage equality.
And finally, seemingly still stuck in the 1950s, Louisiana state lawmakers rejected a bill this week to ban housing discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. They voted overwhelmingly last month to keep the state's sodomy law on the books, even though a 2003 U.S. Supreme Court ruling found such laws to be unconstitutional. Three Democrats joined 9 Republicans on the House Commerce Committee to defeat the anti-bias measure by a vote of 12-3. None specifically discussed why they voted against the bill. Sponsored by Representative Pat Smith, a Baton Rouge Democrat, the bill would have added sexual orientation, gender identity, veteran status, source of income, domestic abuse victim status, and conviction record to the list of characteristics that a property owner could not use to deny someone housing. The politically powerful Louisiana Family Forum opposed the measure, arguing that only morally neutral characteristics deserve protection.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 3rd, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Rick Watts.
There's love on the airwaves this week with two books that weigh in on romance, a song about loving yourself, and a much-anticipated television wedding. Is it real or is it Modern Family? As the TV sitcom closes its 5th season, gay couple Mitchell and Cameron will be tying the knot. Actors Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stone Street discuss the big event, which they compared favorably to Ferguson's own actual wedding on ABC TV's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Now you guys are preparing for a big 2-part wedding episode.
Yeah, we've shot the wedding, so it was great. It was a really great episode. It was very bizarre being, you know, just married in real life last summer. I just married my husband.
That's a real commitment to the role. You know.
Thank you for reminding me the pressure of marriage. But you know, then to get married, you know, I got married in July and then got engaged again in you know, September to Eric, and I was like, oh, I'm Elizabeth Taylor all of a sudden. It was great though. It was very surreal.
That must be strange. Were there people who were at the wedding?
Yeah,
who were
Eric,
at your real wedding?
Eric was my real wedding.
I was there.
He was there, and then I got married to him.
Were you? Did you feel jealous at all? Like you're a little bit out of the spotlight?
Well, you know. I think I did say I thought it would always be me.
Yeah.
At his rehearsal dinner, but it was a great ceremony. It was really, really neat to be there with our cast, some of our cast and writers.
Ty and Julie. And
who else? Yeah, Ty and Julie were at the
at the real wedding.
The real
and fake, actually. Actually, Elizabeth Banks is a guest on our finale. And she is in the wedding, and she wasn't able to make it. I'm really good friends with her in real life as well, and she wasn't able to make it to my real wedding. She's like, well, at least I made it to one of them.
Oh, yeah. So, that is convenient for her.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of a big deal for American television that we have two men getting characters that we feel like we know getting married in prime time on a network owned by Disney. I mean, that's kind of exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting. You know, from the beginning of our show, like, I think we've always said our main objective is to make people laugh and, you know, find our characters relatable and escape your day-to-day with whatever it is that it's got going on in your real life and tune in with us and go on whatever journey we're going on. And this just feels really great to know that at the end of 5 years, Mitch and Cam, these two characters that people have gotten to know, are having a little bit of completion to their relationship as well. And And we're opening people's hearts and minds, no doubt about it, but we're making them freaking laugh, too.
Did you feel any real emotion when you guys were acting?
Not one ounce of it.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, there was, like, a lot of the pressure to, like, be like, okay, well, here's the moment. Like, how are we going to generate this, you know, this emotion? And the thing is, our writers did let us go through, like, the vows that normally one would go through when they're getting married. And so, really, I mean, I have great affection for this man. It's like to look at him and like be able to say these great words and be able to say I do to someone, even if they're going to be a fake husband. You know, it does create a certain emotion, and I did get very emotional, and you did too. And it was not acting. You love me.
I like you a lot.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stone Street of Modern Family talked this week with Jimmy Kimmel on his late-night ABC TV talk show about Mitch and Cam's wedding. Those episodes will air on the U.S. network May 14th and 21st.
I wonder who wrote the book of love?
This Way Out commentator Janet Mason loved the literature of love. Why?
Love makes the world go round. And when it comes to LGBT civil rights, love is what all the fuss is about. Two recent books from Cleus Press, both published in 2013, brought the idea of love to the forefront of my mind in very different ways. In The Wild Passions of Dorian Gray, a novel, author Mitzi Cerezzo brings to life the character of Dorian Gray from the picture of Dorian Gray, the only published novel by a gay icon, Oscar Wilde, who was born in 1854 in Dublin and lived much of his adult life in London, where in 1895 he was sentenced to 2 years of hard labor under English sodomy laws. After his release from prison, Wilde divided his time between France and England, living in poverty. He never published under his own name again. The picture of Dorian Gray, published in the 1890s, tells the story of a young man named Dorian Gray, who sits for a portrait by artist Basil Hallward. Dorian, who is exceptionally handsome, blithely expresses a desire to sell his soul to the ends that the painting would age instead of him. His wish comes true. As Dorian goes on to live a life of debauchery, his portrait ages and becomes disfigured with Dorian's transgressions. British author Mitzi Cerezzo takes these themes and weaves them into a gothic erotic thriller of her own making as she recreates the debauching Dorian who lives without aging and through the centuries into the present day. In interest of not revealing its ending, I can't say too much, only that Dorian, who throughout the centuries is interested only in his own pleasure, finally succumbs to having a heart. In taking the story to this conclusion, Mitzi Cerezzo perhaps redeems the character of Dorian Gray. Foolish Heart, New Gay Fiction, edited by Timothy J. Lambert and R.D. Cochran, is a collection of gay love stories. There are 17 stories in this collection, some authors more well-known than others, but all interesting in their own ways. Seasoned and celebrated gay writer Andrew Holleran gives us a story symposium with an author narrator who is invited to an upscale guest house with a gay archive and library to give a talk on the gay literary tradition and gay love and ends up in a conversation with a friend quoting Sappho, "I lie alone, the Pleiades have set, and lamenting. What if I had spoken the truth this evening at the library? What if I had told them that the last time I was in love, in mad, passionate, deep, and obsessive love, it was so painful that I hope never to repeat it?" In How to Be Single at a Wedding, David Puterball shares his story of going to a gay wedding, where the single gay male protagonist bonds with Natalie, who is a sister of one of the grooms. "Oh, they fight," Natalie said when he shared his doubt with her. "They're just very waspy about it. All smiles in public until they're behind closed doors. Then they tear each other's pearls off." The protagonist, whose name is Peter, overcomes his doubts about the couple and himself. He feels like he is a, quote, bad gay, since he is almost 40 and has no idea of how to find Mr. Right. At the end of the story, Puterball writes, "Peter took his place beside Brian on the left, and Natalie stood next to Jason on his right. Behind him, Peter could hear Jason and Natalie's mother crying softly in the garden. He glanced past the grooms and looked at Natalie, his hands flat at his sides, covering the two rings. I hope she finds her own best man. I hope I do too. I do. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure for This Way Out.
There's nothing so international as a powerful idea. I'm Edmund White. It is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful over the past couple of decades. And one radio program has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine on this station.
Homophobia may not make hip-hop headlines, but the stigma against LGBT artists remains strong. Out-rapper Angel Hayes courageously addresses the issue in a freestyle track over Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Grammy-winning Same Love.
At age 13, my mother knew I wasn't straight. She didn't understand, but she had so much to say. She sat me on the couch, looked me straight in my face, and said, "You'll burn in hell or probably die of AIDS." It's funny now, but at 13, it was pain to be almost sure of who you are and have it ripped away. And I'm sorry if it's too real for some of you to fathom, but hate for who you love is not exactly what you'd imagine. And I guess it was disastrous, cause everything that happened afterwards was just madness. Locked away for 2 years to keep me on the inside, because she'd rather see a part of me die than me thrive. And it's tougher when it's something you can't deny, and ignorance teaches us it's something that you decide. You're driven by your choices, an optical illusion. Here's to understanding that it's not always confusion,
cause I can't change.
In my school, and I've seen kids hide behind walls and footballs and things like pride. I've seen innocent children suffer beneath bruises, suffer beneath every single hand that chooses. Ignorance of your religion, of constitutions, of superstitions. There are no lakes of fire, we're here on earth, and the only thing to do is put love first. And so I stand for the boy who died by his hand to the sound of his father screaming, "Woman loves man." This is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I stand for the girl with the cuts up her sleeve and a heart in her hand and that chip on her shoulder. And I stand for it all until ignorance is over. This is for you, for knowing who you are, for never letting your magic outside of your heart. Be you, be brave, and understand that things do change. I accept you for you when I don't understand, and I love you for you, cause this is who I am. I accepted you for you when I didn't understand. Now love me for me, cause this is who I am. Message to the people who just don't get it. Love is love, there is no difference. Not a medication to fix it, there is no prescription, no rehab to visit. It is not an addiction, it's love, and it's selfless. It's yours and everybody else's. So don't badger and abuse the solemnly defenseless. See us as yourself, there's no equality and difference. Until we all get it, we'll be drowning in the same blood. Despite orientation, we all feel the same love. We'll be drowning in the same blood. Despite orientation, we all feel the same love. Boxed in and labeled before we're ever able to speak who we believe we are or who we dream will become, like drumbeats forever changing their rhythm. I am living today as someone I had not yet become yesterday, and tonight I'll only borrow pieces of who I am today to carry with me to tomorrow. No, I'm not gay. No, I'm not straight, and I sure as hell am not bisexual. Damn it, I am whoever I am when I am it, loving whoever you are when the stars shine and whoever you'll be when the sun rises. So here's to being able. Here's to love. Here's to loving just because. Here's to acceptance. Here's to never fearing the fear of rejection. Here's to love and never neglecting who it is you feel you are. Here's to bullies, because beatings cannot last forever. Here's to the moment that you realize things do get better. Here's to the parents who will get it when it's too late. Here's to second chances. Here's to new fate. Here's to every single moment you've ever had to hide you. Here's to the single star shining bright inside you, asking you to guide you. Here's to who you'll be when you've figured it all out. Here's to momentary doubt. Here's to feeling, because we all feel it the same. Here is to the moment that things will change. Because we all feel love, we all feel it the same. Here's to love. Here's a change.
Here's to Angel Hayes, freestyling to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Same Love. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Carol Myers, Rick Watts, and Janet Mason contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Arrow Verse performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and the generosity of our listeners. Log on to thiswayout.org for program information, CD subscriptions, podcasts, special offers, and links to our blog, Facebook, and Google Plus pages. You can also find the show on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2TLC Yamba, New South Wales, WGDR Plainfield, Vermont, KUGS Bellingham, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.